Jesus, abide in us as we abide in you. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Do you all remember that penultimate scene in The Wizard of Oz? When Glinda the Good Witch reveals to Dorothy Gale that if Dorothy is ready, all she needs to do to go back home is to close her eyes, click her ruby red heels together, and repeat those words, "There's no place like home, there's no place like home, there's no place like home." After all her adventures in that bright and colorful land of Oz, home for Dorothy Gale is Kansas, after all. Kansas in plain old black and white. Kansas and the Gale farm with Auntie Em, Uncle Henry, and their farmhand Zeke Hickory and Hunk. What about you? Where is home for you? Many of us might immediately answer that question with a specific street address. Home is 14 Midvale Road. Home is 2304 Bright Leaf Way. Some might answer with the neighborhood that we live in. Home is Roland Park, Homeland, Rogers Forge, or Stoneley. Perhaps we'd answer with the name of our city. Baltimore is home. Some might answer this question not with where we currently live, but with some other place, perhaps where we grew up, or a place we've lived before, or some place we visit frequently and return to whenever we can. Perhaps home is a place we yearn to return to. Home is the mountains of Colorado. Home is the streets of New York. And still others might offer that home isn't so much a place as it is a person. People in fulfilling, loving, long-term relationships might answer that question with a name. Home is wherever Sally is. Home is wherever Ted is. Writer Pico Iyer, who is best known for his travel writing and his reflections on the way that crisscrossing cultures have transformed our imaginations, our relationships, and our world, observes that home is not so much about soil as it is about soul. That home is not so much about soil as it is about soul is something many Americans can relate to. According to a recent statistic, the average American will move approximately 11.4 times during the course of his or her lifetime. 11.4 times. So how to decide what to bring with us when we move? What's essential to keep? What's essential to take with us to that next place so that that next place feels like home and is home? The year that I lived in a trailer in the desert of New Mexico, I had to make those choices so that what I took could fit in the back of a small red Jeep. Young people moving off to college and elder people downsizing into retirement homes and communities need to make decisions, which pictures, photographs, what piece of artwork, memorabilia, furniture is essential to bring so that that next place feels like home. Because it's not so much about the thing itself as much as it is about what that piece represents and connects us to, those family members and memories and experiences. Those pieces are touchstones to a relationship, a connection that's something bigger than us. Those pieces are sacraments, so to speak, of the gift of community and the gift of belonging. The chair that belonged to my grandmother, that piece of art that Dad sculpted with his own hands, those seashells from that summer together. Home then perhaps is less about geography than about connecting and feeling and being reminded of the deepest and truest part of yourself, who you really are in relationship to something bigger. Today's passage from the Gospel of John is ultimately about home. I am the vine, you are the branches, Jesus says. Abide in me as I abide in you. That word abide is the Greek meno, Greek for to dwell, to remain, to reside. It's about something enduring, something long-lasting, something that's both in time and beyond time. And it's about truly living the abundant life that is ours to live, a life overflowing with goodness and joy and love and grace, the kind of life that is our birthright as human beings made in the image of a loving and glorious God. Live in me, Jesus said, as I live in you. Make your home in me, the Lord of life says, as I make my home in you. The gospel that we hear today, of course, takes us back in time because we are in the season of Eastertide, the season of resurrection experiences, and yet today's gospel is from the night that Jesus died. It's from Jesus' farewell discourse. It's from that last time that he gathered with his friends before his death by crucifixion. They've just shared their last meal together, and Judas has already left to do what he's going to do. And Jesus stands there in the midst of everything and everyone he loves. I am the vine, you are the branches. Your home is in me as my home is in you. What we've experienced and loved and lived and shared together is so intimately a part of us that whatever happens to me, I am with you and you are with me. Love is stronger than death, my friends. Love is stronger than death. This message, of course, was written to address the community of John in the end of the first century, many of whom are experiencing separation and dislocation from their traditional places of worship and their communities. And the temple has been destroyed. And in the midst of all that, Jesus' words and message is, abide in me as I abide in you. Your home is in me as my home is in you, regardless of where you are or aren't worshiping. So how do we hear his message today? How is it that we are to live fully in this life as 21st century disciples and followers of Christ in Baltimore, Maryland? We are to stay rooted, Jesus reminds us. We are to make our home in the Lord of life by following and living the way, the truth, and the life as illumined for us by Jesus of Nazareth. Just as branches are rooted and grounded in a grapevine, which the vine itself is rooted and grounded in the ground of being, so too we are to be rooted and stay intimately connected with the way, the truth, and the life as illumined by Jesus of Nazareth. And it comes as no surprise that it's all about relationship. It's all about cultivating life-giving relationships, which has something to do with cultivating life-giving relationship with time, with staying grounded in the present moment, living in the now as opposed to living in the past or fretting about the future as best as we can. It's about cultivating authentic, life-giving relationship with nature as God reveals God's self in nature, that pulsing life force that you can feel when you're outside soaking in the sun, drinking in the rain, smelling the scents of wildflowers or roses in your garden. It's about cultivating authentic, life-giving relationship with God's revelation through Scripture and the Word of God through Scripture and poetry and music. And most of all, perhaps, it's about cultivating life-giving relationships with the people around us with whom we live and work and eat and drink. Cultivating life-giving relationships with family and friends and colleagues and neighbors, our fellow Baltimoreans, taking the time to nurture these relationships, including relationships with those on the margins, the least, the forgotten, living lives of service in communion and in community with that holy other. This reminder couldn't be more timely and relevant. There was an article that appeared in the New York Times a couple of weeks ago, written by David Brooks, who's going to be joining us in just a little while. David Brooks writes about the quality of our relationships being in steady decline for decades. In the 1980s, 20% of Americans said they were often lonely. Now, it's 40%. Depression rates have increased tenfold since 1960. And David Brooks refers to former Surgeon General Vivek Murthy, who summarized his experience as a doctor in an article that appeared in the Harvard Business Review in September. And the doctor wrote that during his years caring for patients, the most common pathology that he saw was not heart disease or diabetes, it was loneliness. Patients came to see him partly because they were lonely and partly because loneliness made them sick. David Brooks continues to write that weak social connections have health effects similar to smoking 15 cigarettes a day and a greater negative effect than obesity. And David Brooks concludes that loneliness and social isolation are the problem that undergird many of our other problems. Abide in me, the Lord of life says, as I abide in you. It's about cultivating life-giving relationships. One of my favorite people in the world is my nephew, Jonah. He and I were listening to a TED Talk the other day about how not to confuse technological connection with human, real-time, real-flesh interaction. And Jonah was sitting and listening, and he said, huh, I guess that's why Mom makes us eat dinner together a lot. I guess that's why Mom asks me how my day was. You know, Jonah said, I think I understand. And it's risky, this cultivating of life-giving, real-time, real-flesh relationship. It's not so easy because, you see, you can't delete or edit the person who's speaking a hard truth to you. It's about give and take and compromise, being vulnerable, getting to know the story of someone, what matters to him or her, and taking the time to listen and taking the time to share yourself. It's about risking being transformed and changed. It's about life-giving, real, authentic relationship. My colleagues know that we have someone on staff named Barb who's really, really good at putting together birthdays because she takes the time to know what we might like and what we might not like. Whether it's sweets or not sweets, sushi or chicken salad, Barb knows how to celebrate our birthdays, and we enjoy eating lunch together often. There's an organization that many of you know we just recently joined called BUILD, Baltimoreans United in Leadership Development, which just recently has begun this initiative to bring together corporate leaders and civic leaders and government leaders and faith leaders, all in one place to begin addressing the issues that face us in Baltimore by starting to be in relationship with one another. First and foremost, getting to know one another. And the radical tool of community organizing, if you don't know already, is the one-on-one interview. It's not so much an interview, but it's taking the time to meet with someone else that you don't know one-on-one and exchanging stories, hearing what matters to that person and what matters to you and where those common interests and desires and passions might intersect for the common good. When we are in relationship with one another, life-giving relationship, with our lives intertwined like branches intertwined, connected to a vine, living in communion and community with God, the source of life, in and through one another, our family, our friends, our civic organizations and churches and work, we will each and together bear much, much fruit and live a fruitful, holy, and whole life. Time spent cultivating life-giving relationships rooted in the source of life and love is ultimately about cultivating time in our eternal home. Because you see, home, when you live a life like that, is within. We can carry home wherever we go, and we can provide a sense of home for others. Where love abides is where God is. Faith, hope, and love abide. And the greatest of these is love. Amen.